Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel, 87.9, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It's Turncoat Tuesday. It's 18th day of April, 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific Time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. And I do believe we are joined by one of those sort that give that other sort a bad name in the form of J.D., U.S. Marine, Fighting Tyranny, Riding Shotgun.
Yes, you are, Henry. And as always, an honor and a privilege to be fighting the propaganda war with you from the trenches.
And as always, an absolute honor and privilege to have you here, brother. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 2200-29 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and talk with JD and myself. Well, it's currently 47 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 54 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And it got the rain on and off, but it's supposed to have a clear day, I guess, Friday and Saturday. And then we were looking at the long-range forecast, and it's looking like it's going to start warming up finally next week. But I'm telling you, we got another month of this. It's going to come back. I predict it will snow again before the month's out. Anyway, and maybe a little bit in May. That being said, for your weather coast to coast, how are things today out there in Nazi Joyzy, J.D.?
Well, Henry, over here in the northeastern seaboard state of Nazi Jersey, about 120 feet above sea level and about a mile away from the Atlantic Ocean proper, we currently have a very pleasant spring day. It is 65 degrees out there in the shade. And when you're in the sun, because we got nice clear blue skies, it certainly feels warmer than that. Tonight it will get down to about 44. But today is, looks like it is the high for the next, I don't know, maybe Thursday. It says it might go up into the 70s. But tomorrow we're going to be lucky if we get out of the mid-50s. So it's definitely going to be a lot more cooler tomorrow. And then going all the way up into the weekend, because it's already getting there. We're getting to the hump day. Let's see, spring weekend. Looks like we're going to have a nice weekend. Lots of sun, a little bit of clouds, but certainly the spring-like temperatures. So all in all, Henry, it's a normal northeast spring right now.
Well, I can be happy for you because it ain't 20 degrees here.
So what we got on the propaganda plate, because, Henry, it don't stop, man. And it looks like they're taking a breather here as they try and figure out what to do next.
Yeah, I don't know. There are a few little things going on. You know, yesterday we talked about Alex Jones' InfoWars and the fact that they were being taken out of the searches like we have been. You know, like the little sites have been attacked. I mean, the site's telling the truth. It don't matter how big or little you are. If you're telling the goddamn truth, they're attacking the goddamn sites. And, Alex has got a few problems of his own coming back and forth with the, we're going to talk about that too. Anyway, Google says a rogue vendor violated guidelines by instructing contractors to rate InfoWars as untrustworthy site. Ooh, some big wheels are a-turning. And we're going to find out what it all means as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTD.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on along the way. The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
All righty then. Google says rogue vendor violated guidelines by instructing contractors to rate InfoWars as untrustworthy site. This is from Business Insider. Google said Monday that a vendor mistakenly told staffers working for the search engine that InfoWars should be ranked as a low quality site, and it's been corrected for InfoWars. They have done this pretty plain what's going on here. I think if you look at it, step back and look at it. Now, old Alex, there is an article that came out. I ain't been putting none of this shit up because I know what the intent is behind it. And Alex Jones is an actor. He is a Zionist shill. He's a goddamn low-life traitor. And he should be brought to justice, prosecuted, and a rope slid down around his treasonous neck and dropped through the door. Period. Because that's what he is. But what's going on out there, people? Alex came out and said that his whole thing was an act. The whole thing was an act. John, did you know that?
Yeah, I saw an article. It was titled something like the Great Pretender or something like that. You know? Oh, gee, really? They just figured this out?
Well, the thing is, his lawyer released this, and this was came out of the mainstream. And so how is it being, you know, what's the other end of the game here? Well, on the net, Spike read an article. He sent it to me. I'm not putting any of this shit up because I know what they're doing here. But, you know, it's coming. It was all an act, John. You know, 9/11 was an inside job. That was just an act, man, that he was putting on for people. Sandy Hoax was a production. That was just another act he was putting on, John. And now you got it right from the horse's mouth. You know, the tip of the spear. Sandy Hoax really happened, and 9/11 happened like it was supposed to, and all of this has been fake news from the government. At the same time, you have supposedly, Alex Jones' lawyer came out and said that his statement is that it was all an act. And then at the same time, you got Google here saying that, sites like From the Trenches will remain, removed from the search engines. InfoWars, you know, who the head of InfoWars just admitted that it was all an act. His act, I guess, will be ranked right up there with the credible sources, John. You think that old Alex might have made a deal to get his kids in that custody? Because, you know, Mark was talking about it this morning, and, you know, I didn't know this, but Violet ain't even his ex-old lady's name. They've never let her name be released, and she is a Jewess. And, Alex has been, you know, maybe compromised into it or however. I mean, I think he started down the road of compromise a long, long time ago when he first tied up with Ted Anderson and John Stattmiller. But, I mean, the compromise got more, and the compromise got more, and the money got more, and the money got more, and the power got more. And man, it was just a wonderful thing. Just compromise a little here, a little there, and a little more here, and a little more over there. But what he's done, you know. A lot of the stuff old Alex put out in the beginning was the goddamn truth, people. And now, because he has compromised himself and he's put himself in a position to where I guarantee you they're telling him, you want your kids, this is what you're going to do, man. And, you're going to F the truth, man. Don Betcher called him a son of a bitch this morning, and Don was right. What a cowardly son of a bitch. He knows what he's doing, and you people out there, you Jonesers, I know what you're going to say. He's just saying that it was an act the way he did it. That's all that they needed, isn't it? Why would he do that? Now, all of you people out there who still think he has some credibility, you better start thinking again. If this person would, I mean, what is the cause to you? I mean, for, you know, he got in a tight spot and God damn, he turned around and said, oh, all the whole Patriot thing, it's all a big act. Let me have my kids. Don't get charge me so much child support and so much alimony. And of course, and the same guys, you know, that you got this act playing out. And on the other hand here, you got Google saying that, you know, sites like From the Trenches, they were going to be attacked every salute. You don't want to listen to them. They have to, they're telling it's all fake and there's nothing real about it. Ask Alex Jones because he knows about fake stuff. But wait a minute. Alex said he was fake, but he's not, he gets upped in category. He gets put up there as credible. This is how it works, people. All you dumbasses out there that have been listening to this goddamn charlatan for 20 years. In the beginning, man, I'm telling you, I listened to Alex Jones. And Mark Kornke, I mean, Mark helped him. I mean, he was right there in that broadcast. I mean, this is where he started out. And then he found, I mean, you got to compromise. Some people told him that you want to be rich, Alex. You want to have your pockets full. But I'm going to tell you people something. This is about the Bill of Rights, and it is about compromise. You compromise at any, you don't have it. And this is what how they've always broken every movement that has come to challenge their propaganda machine. They compromise it. You compromise. I mean, it's the same old story, same old song and dance. If you tell the whole truth about them, man, they will spend, Google, you know, they'll spare no expense in keeping you silenced. Containing it. If it came down to it, they'd kill you if that's what it took to stop it. If they can't control it, they destroy it. That's what it's all about. And I know Alex, he served a purpose. Like I said, you know, during the election cycle, control. How many can you deliver? How many assholes can you get to come out there to acquiesce for the rest of this country to more of this frickin' treason that you know is treason? You think Alex Jones doesn't know about the War Powers Act? You think he doesn't know that Donald Trump, 10 minutes after being sworn in, went over there and signed the War Powers Act and became the fucking dictator, just like the dictator before him and the dictator before that? Of course he does.
Remember what Goebbels said, truth is the enemy of the lie, and well, since the state does nothing but lie to you, if you're telling the truth, well, you're an enemy of the state.
Now, don't it just make sense when you look at it logically? Of course, I mean, I don't know what to say to you people. Are you going to continue this down this? I mean, we're being contained, there's no doubt about that.
Henry, now remember, old Alex Zionist Jones, he was telling us the truth before, but now he's telling us he's been lying to us all along because it was an act. And what's an act? An act is to lie. But now he's telling us the truth, and we should believe him now.
Well, like Don Betcher said, the dirty son of a bitch, because what he did to the movement. He did to the truth, because a lot of what he put out was the goddamn truth. I mean, he started in the truth. And then he started compromising the truth. And he finally compromised the truth until he could say it was an act. And now they can say everything was just an act. None of it was the truth. A dirty, dirty deed.
But it also happened, Henry, and this may be partly part of the truth. Remember, they don't do these kind of things normally for one driving factor. Normally there's a collection. There's several factors at work here. And I do think that because Alex Jones does tell some truth, he has to, otherwise he's got zero credibility, but that truth was getting out there. That 9/11 was us. It was a false flag.
Yep.
It was committed by this enemy force and occupation that stupid people call our government. That there was something called the Newtown hoax. It was a complete hoax, even admitted by the FBI. And that message was getting out there, contrary to the mainstream media coverage of it. And it was really starting to bite them in the ass.
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt about it. And then, I mean, and, you know, Mark, you know, he speculated that, you know, his old lady, you know, that these Jews, he said, you know, and you notice in the reporting, they don't have his wife's name. They have Alex Jones's name. They don't have their grieved wife's name. What are you talking about here? You know, and like Mark said, as far as what he could have done rather than acquiesce to this bullshit, how about this? She worked for InfoWars. She did the same thing he does. So if it was something that was bad for the child, you know, the children, some crazy thing he's doing that was bad for the children, she was doing it too. So that should have been a moot point, but you You just got to wonder what else was thrown into the bargain, because in the end, that's what this comes down to. Like every goddamn thing, people, it down to a deal. They made a deal. If you don't make deals, you see, you live in poverty, and they run over you. They try to keep you down as much as they can. If you will not make deals, they cannot control you. If you're the kind of fella that can make a deal, now you're the kind of fella that knows how to compromise. And we can use you, and I mean use.
Now, remember, what was that movie with Mel Gibson, Braveheart, where she makes the statement, the queen of France, the future queen, makes the statement to him, you know, compromise. That's how deals are made. And he was like, no, that's how slaves are made.
Exactly correct. What went wrong with the United States of these Americas? Compromise. Compromise on the 9th article to the Bill of Rights. I mean, you know, this is such a complex subject that people, you know, they spend years writing books about it and trying to analyze it. And you know, what happened here? What happened there? What happened back in the 1860s, the 1700s? Which move did what that caused this effect? It's real fucking simple, people. It was nothing but compromise to the 9th article to the People's Bill of Rights. That's it. That's what caused it. Because it couldn't have happened otherwise without that single element. That being said, let's see where this psychosis is taking us. Trump, who's just like, you know, him. And, you know, he called Alex Jones and thanked him for helping him after he was elected, don't you know? Him and Alex is almost the same guy. I wonder if, you know, Trump's putting on an act, too.
I'm sure that Trump sent Alex Jones a nice set of presidential cufflinks, just like Jamie Dimon wore to that congressional hearing.
I gotta believe it. Trump takes I'm gonna jump in this. It's gonna look like a good thing, but we're gonna make sure you understand completely. We're gonna tell you, well, like old Paul Harvey used to say, we're gonna tell you the rest of the story. President Trump, takes on outsourcing with new executive order. This is from Yahoo News. President Trump plans to sign an executive order on Tuesday meant to rein in abuse in a visa program that lets some companies replace American workers with foreign ones. The order would target so-called H-1B visas, which Congress created in 1990 as a way to help companies that can't find highly skilled technical workers hire foreign workers able to do the job. Because, man, there's some things that the people that built the 19th, 20th, and 21st century, there's some things we just can't do. We need some son of a bitch from a lesser country, of a lesser education, of a lesser person to come here and do it, well, for less money. Many companies
can't even speak the goddamn language properly.
You're goddamn right. All they know how to say, a refugee. Many companies still abide by the intent of the program, but others seem, I mean, F you and your program. I don't give a shit about these companies. How about this? You will hire American workers or you can get the fuck out of our country. That's our consumer base. You know, they talk up in here about, we get on down in here. I'm trying to think who they're talking about. Apple and Gates and these people. Well, they couldn't do it in America unless they can bring in the H-1B sons of bitches to take our tech jobs. Really? Well, if we were America like America's supposed to be, we'd say, you know what, you son of a bitch? You got 72 hours to be out of the United States. And you know what? We're boycotting. The whole goddamn country's boycotting your frickin' product. Now you go see how many of you can sell around the world to the third world. Shove them up your ass. And I'm telling you, this is the facts of it. Trump is a goddamn elitist billionaire advocating for elitist billionaires. And you're going to hear it in here. Many companies still abide by the intent of the program, but others seem to be using the H-1B visa simply to replace American workers with foreign workers willing to work for less. No. We're taking a more vigorous stance in enforcing violations of the H-1B program, a senior Trump administration official told reporters on Monday. We want to make sure guest workers programs don't become a way of replacing American labor at less cost. They've already done this. I mean, we don't want this to happen. This has happened over and over again. Disney down in Florida, several companies. Where they've made them train the foreigners to come. But there's a scam in here somewhere, people. Big companies including Disney, Oracle, and Cisco have generated controversy by using H-1B workers from countries such as India to do work previously done by Americans, which is not how the program is supposed to work. The law includes stipulations meant to assure that foreigners willing to work for less don't put Americans out of a job. Well, it's worked so, I mean, you can tell that's the way it was designed because that's what it's done, right? Not. But there are loopholes, such as outsourcing work to an outside company, which might be the one employing the foreigners working on the H-1B visa, so the American worker loses their jobs. Well, if you did this, that's a violation of the law, their law, but this is something that the government would be running, would be a visa program. But if I committed fraud and I misappropriated federal funds and I stole those federal funds for a purpose other than they were designated for, what would they do to me?
Henry, they'd send a SWAT team to your house with a sniper who would put a bullet in your head as you stepped on the front porch with a baby in your arms and your hands out and your other hand up.
So surely the raids are happening as we're speaking here, right?
Of course they are.
So the American worker loses their jobs. The outsourcing firm pays foreigners less than the original workers earned, and the company outsourcing the work saves money. No steals labor. Trump is scheduled to sign the order whilst visiting a Snap-on Tools in Kenosha, Wisconsin on Tuesday. The order will contain a second provision meant to tighten the rules requiring the federal government to buy American whenever possible. Of course, these laws have already been in place, people. He couldn't be writing executive orders on them to enforce them if they weren't already in place. And, man, people have been violating these laws. Again, what happens to you or I if we violate these statutes that can't even be put upon us, that are an act of treason and tyranny, even mentioning them to us? Well, we'd go to jail for something we can't go to jail for. But the people who should go to jail for this, the people who can be prosecuted under this jurisdiction, well, I don't think nothing's going to happen to them, people. Agencies sometimes get waivers from those rules, such as when American-made products aren't available or they're too expensive. Oh, man, that's you talk about open subject matter. What is too expensive to somebody who doesn't want to pay anything? There are going to be fewer waivers granted and new standards for looking at bids, a second administration official told reporters. So all you got to do is get your turners, your twisters, and find ways to twist through this. And just like they tell you, it's being abused by doing it this way, we'll get all this shit in place because not all of it's subject matter bullshit. That is truly meaningless and without any means of enforcement. And they'll find the lawyers will sit down and they'll take the new legislation apart. And, well, we can do it this way over here with Bob and Ted over in India. And hell, it's still, we didn't violate none of the rules. Technically, the rules say H-1B must be paid comparable to the prevailing wage in their industries, which is how the law is supposed to prevent cheap foreign workers from undercutting higher paid American workers. But nonpartisan studies have found that improper use. God damn it, I wish it was, you know, John, if I went down and took somebody's social security number and got a credit card, I wish that could be considered improper use. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Or maybe if I went in and robbed a bank, they could just call that improper use of a bank. Improper use of the visa suppresses pay for Americans and costs some workers their jobs. Trump campaigned on killing the H-1B program outright. Well, he ain't going to do it. So what it is, Trump's getting down. Yeah, he ain't done shit, just like he ain't done shit on the border. He ain't doing shit here. It's going to continue. He said it was going to stop. It is going to continue. It's going to be under his management, under his contractors, maybe. Which could be tough, given that big tech companies such as Apple, Alphabet, Google, and Facebook say there aren't enough Americans to fill their staffing needs in the United States. So this is their little threat. We'll have to take it out of this. Goodbye. You will get none of our frickin' resources. So go Go dig your shit out of China and build your shit over there in China, out of shit you dug over there in China, and sell it to the Chinese, because we're boycotting your ass. And we're the only people, really, that aren't completely, I mean, enslaved to the point that we can't actually go out and buy products like yours. I guess the Chinese can, because they've got the wealth of our country over there. But when we cut that off, you sons of bitches, well, it's called a boycott. And it will work. In addition to tightening up enforcement of H-1Bs, the executive order would call on four agencies, the Department of Labor, Commerce, State, and Homeland Security, to suggest ways to revamp the program. To make, see, it's a program. It's not law. See, when they do something wrong, it's just they screwed up in the program. They made mistakes, but it's not really criminal when they steal labor, steal monies, whatever. Program to make sure it doesn't kill American jobs. And while Trump can't change the number of H-1Bs granted every year, he could change the way they are granted without congressional involvement. H-B-1s are currently given out through a lottery system, but Trump could change that to emphasize certain education levels or skill sets, which might better protect some categories of American workers. AIDS also suggests new fees the government could charge as a way to discourage using the visas to replace Americans. You got to pay the government a big payoff. Well, let's just call it what it is, a bribe, but we'll call it a tariff or something. If the administration can force companies to actually pay American wages, this could be helpful, says Russ Harrison, Director of Government Relations for IEE USA, which represents American engineers and lobbies for H-1B reforms. If this is a real proposal or even the outline of a proposal, it could jumpstart debate on Capitol Hill, which is where most of these reforms need to start. I mean, there's reforms, all this shit they're talking. You know what, you son of a bitches? You didn't have our permission to do none of this. You don't have our permission to allow our shit to be manufactured by outsiders. How about that? They just created their little aristocracy that they call a government. Then, you know, removed the Bill of Rights and the common laws, any check on their power. And just stepped up, we can sell this land, we can give this land over here to the United Nations, and fuck you, get out of the way, I know that the resources here belong to you, and the whole deal in the beginning was that we can manufacture here, but we goddamn sure it was gonna be Americans doing it, it's our shit! No, we don't get that. We've taken over. You're just a goddamn. How many years did they tell you? You're just a human resource, and there's a glut of it on the world market. And because we're open to the world market, we're right back to that big lie known as the Civil War, the War of Northern Aggression, where it was, you know, they wanted to bring slave labor. I mean, this is why the Northern man said he fight, because they were going to bring slave labor in and undercut his wages. Anyways, guys, we'll get back into this because we're not done. We haven't come to the rest of the story. We are down at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Listening to the word from the trenches. From the trenches worldreport.com. Brought to you by Patriot Broadcast from the trenches. The word from the trenches is a listener sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to from the trenches worldreport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiliquin, Oregon 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It's 12:38 Pacific Time. And that was Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band. Feel like a number, not even a number anymore. I don't know, a deficit. All right, straight back into it. Trump is resettling Syrian refugees at a much quicker pace than Obama. What? Well, how can that be? I mean, he's stopping the refugees, especially from Syria, from coming in, right? But we talked about how, you know, what you have in this country are these international corporations basing themselves all over the country. I mean, they're ordering up select employees. I mean, slave labor is what it is. So, you know, you got the upheaval in the Middle East with Syria. And now, you know what? There were tech workers in Syria, lots of them. They were of a 21st century civilization before the bombs hit. But now all that tech labor, I mean, those people can't work. Hell, the goddamn place is bombed daily. So, I mean, if you're going to bring some people in, I mean, this is like back in the days of the robber barons. I mean, I want 2,000 Irish to work these mines. So bring them in. Yes, boss. And this, and again, this is like the aristocracies of England and Germany and, you know, the crown heads of Europe. It comes down to what's in it for me. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Syrians? No. That's being stopped, remember? The communists wanted them, and it ain't the communists. It's the contracts they represent. And that's what this really is all about. He's in there renegotiating every contract to see what he can get for the new dynasty, which is his dynasty, replacing the Clinton dynasty, replacing the Bush dynasty. And all along, I mean, every once in a while, jobs, for America first, yeah, right. President Donald Trump, anyway, this was from the Daily Caller. It was sent in by Katie for discussion. I'm from the trenches, worldreport.com. President Donald Trump called Syrian refugees a great Trojan horse during the 2016 campaign. He said a lot of things during the 2016 campaign. But his administration has resettled them in a quicker pace than President Barack Obama did. No, well, come on now. This can't be. Since Trump was inaugurated, 1,401 Syrian refugees have been resettled, State Department figures as of Wednesday reveal. This is more than double the 625 Syrian refugees resettled under President Barack Obama in the same time frame last year. And you go, goddamn H-1B, what is the truth here? Well, in the 2010 midterms, you had that standoff. Remember, Obama was he had granted amnesty to, you know, went around the Congress and went around the laws just through his dictatorial power, said, you know, I'm giving 11 million here. I'm giving amnesty. I said I couldn't do it 25 times. Had no authority to do it 25 times. But hey, I've decided I'm doing it. And then you had the congressman up there saying that, you know, we are not going to find, this would be illegal to finance this. It's illegal. And then the midterms came up, and they were going to get the senators in there. You know, they get that Senate, and by God, we'll impeach that son of a bitch in Kenyon and get him out of there, and we're just going to shutting this shit down. I'm telling you right now, vote his hand. Come on, vote. Jobs, do it. Come on. And you did. And we told you what was going to happen. But then it just seems kind of weird, doesn't it? So the trade-off we told you would be the H-1B visas. For the money to finance the recolonization of our country and the replacement as a workforce. And sure enough, here you had the Democrat, the president, you know, here he's this guy who's against those other guys, giving them exactly what they wanted, all these H-1B visas. And remember, Donald Trump's really jumping on this, but this has been going on for a long time, and it was upped. And after it was up, well, they illegally financed that amnesty, didn't they? What you have here is just contractors going back and forth. They want work forces from other places that can, I mean, it's all about greed, unsatiable greed, putting that next gold coin up on top of the mountain of coins. And I mean, they just do not see past their own frickin' greed. They don't give a shit. You're in the way. I've been telling you this all along. They don't even acknowledge you as existing, except when you get in the way. And then you're something that has to be removed. Instead of the goddamn people that own this frickin' country. That have every goddamn right to its wealth and its riches as they do. To access to the, you know, free enterprise system. So that you, I mean, we're not, we weren't, I mean, you think our forefathers that owned farms and owned businesses and shit. You think that they said, what we want here is we want to all be employees. And so that we're making the Bill of Rights for employees, because we're going to just be employed in this country that we know we own it, and it's the richest country on planet Earth, but shit, we just want to, give us a job, just give us a job, you can have the whole fucking thing, if you just let us have a job, let us grovel at your feet, please. You think that's why they did it? And this is what your Trumpy is offering you. You're going to let the Chinaman come up here and buy up all your highways. Hey, you know what? They all got to be rebuilt. He's going to put $12 million in. We're going to get $125 million, so his $12 million's already canceled out. Plus, he made money. And he's going to own the goddamn roads. But you know what? You get to fix your roads now. You get to get out there. You get a job. And once they're through selling your country out, I mean selling it, I'm talking about real estate. The goddamn man's a real estate agent. When they get through selling out your resources and your industrial base, every goddamn thing, your farmlands, the food production, once they own it all, what are you going to say? I own my house. Well, we put a tax on your house. We are the corporate lords, and if you can't pay that tax, I guess your house reverts. Well, back to us, because, hell, we're the country now. We're the government. We bought it all with the money we stole from you, you ignorant savages. And then you got the choice. You work for them or you starve to death. Because you have nothing to step back on. All of your wealth that it was yours as a birthright has been removed. It was this big banking thing and things just went wrong at the top. And somehow the people at the top ended up owning everything. We didn't want it this way. This wasn't what we planned. This wasn't our intent. We should have corrected this somewhere down the line. Anyway. It seems that the contractors who wanted the Syrians in here, and I guarantee you these are going to be tech workers, and they're going to take out middle-class jobs. And you know, these are refugees, so this ain't going to fall under the HB1, okay? Like I've said, they've come to the royal family, and they've said, you know, this is what's in it for the dynasty, for your dynasty. This is what, you know, this is going to go on for years. You still have, you know, we look at all the young Trumps, Eric and Donald and Ivanka and a little Barron. By the time little Barron is Donald's age, you will be like George Soros, filthy, rich beyond imagination, controlling world events. This is your payoff, Dunny. And all you have to do is just finish the act, buddy, because it's been an act since the opening at the goddamn conventions when they told you. Didn't they tell us, John? I think I remember something about this is the opening act.
Yeah, that was the first presidential debate where they told us. Well, wasn't that something for the opening act? I can't remember the exact words, but they told us it was the opening act.
Exactly correct.
Well, now, that was a great performance for our opening act or something to that effect.
Yeah, it was a great performance. It was hailed across the board. I'll tell you. And now, let's look at what we're supposed to be looking at. Why all this shit's why our country is being looted and handed over to foreigners? Where's the diversion here? Ready to fight and win? U.S. Marines deployed to Australia amid North Korean nuclear threat.
Well, yeah, because Australia, they don't have their own military, Henry. They've never had their own military, so we got to send down some of our spare ones.
How many times, John, in the last 8 years, did that silly little clown come up and say, I'm going to destroy America and shake his fist and shit and then it all quiet down. You wouldn't even know North Korea existed. Then some more shit would come up, you know, some more thieving or some more warring. And the people would be going, hey, man, this is, what's that crazy little clown saying now? And people finally got to the point, like the boy that cried wolf, everybody's going, yeah, whatever. You know, we know the crazy little clown, and he jumps up and down and does funny shit all the time. Sometimes he'll even entertain us by sicking savage dogs on one of his generals who crossed him. It's very entertaining, but hey, buddy. Well, so we better make this a little more real this time around. And you know what? You know, these Marines deployed to Australia. How many? 1,250, John. Ching, ching. Did some contractors make a little money there just even bringing them to Australia?
Oh, you betcha. Well, first off, you got to get them there. And they probably flew on commercial airlines because the military, even though they have their own military flights, they will rent entire commercial airplanes just to move military personnel on a very short notice like this. And then, of course, you got to have the base, the facilities to land, to house them in. So guess what, Henry? That's contracts. And then you got to feed them. And guess what, Henry? That's contracts. And then you know what? They're going to need things like laundry services. And you got to have equipment and extra munitions brought in. You know what, Henry? That's contracts.
And that money being spent over in Australia ain't going to hurt their economy none, is it?
No, Australia is kind of an expensive place. I've been there. And I don't remember what the exchange rate was, but when I was there, their prices are kind of high to begin with, and then you pay the exchange rate, so you really get whacked over the head. But you know what, Henry? It's all in the contract.
That's it, man. That's what, you know, Donald Trump is. I mean, what an artful dealer. I mean, he'd make money. If you're going to have a diversion, make some goddamn money on it while you're at it. Let's spend some. I mean, those 59 missiles, you think of what he's, charged up to the industrial war complex in just the last couple of weeks. They got to be loving that, man. Maybe that's what he was really put in there for, you know.
Well, somewhere, Henry, in some hotel, there is a party going on right now with plenty of champagne, cocaine, and prostitutes for everybody.
Woo-hoo!
That's a party.
You can't beat it. Can't beat it with a stick. Ready to fight and win. U.S. Marines deployed to Australia amid North Korean nuclear threat. This is from RT. It was sent in by Misty for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com.
Yeah, Henry, because, you know, the little circus clown, the ping pong ball, he's going to take out all of Australia now.
Oh yeah. Well, he explains it in here. It's a serious threat, John. I want you to be more serious about this. People could get injured. U.S. Marines have begun to touch down in Darwin in Australia, tropical north, as the first of some 1,250 stand ready to fight against North. I mean, this is like reading old bylines out of a cheap-ass newspaper back when the con was just, a regular con where they were just trying to start one little war at a time instead of this mass distraction while you're thieving with one hand and killing people with the other for money. I mean, just a pure mafia frenzy. Stand ready to fight against North Korea amid warnings that Pyongyang's nuclear weapons program is a quote, John, this is in quotation marks, serious threat to Canberra.
Oh, Henry, we better spend a lot of money then, because like Zika, it's a serious threat, Henry. We better get some contracts going.
Spare no expense. The deployment will see the largest U.S. aircraft contingent to Australia in peacetime history. Reuters reports, adding that the 25-year annual deployment program was launched by former U.S. President Barack Obama. That's like they're just handing off the baton here somehow. I don't know. It just looks that way.
I don't know. Trump's looking more and more like just a white Obama.
White Obama. White Obama, the T.
Because Obama was just a black Bush.
T. Hillary. White Obama. That's what he is. During the six-month deployment, U.S. Marines will conduct exercises with Australian troops and will also visit Chinese forces. My God, could it get better? The U.S. Marines arrival.
The forces that we're supposed to be fighting, we're going to go pay them a nice social visit?
Well, yeah. The officers. You know, officers have to shake hands and they have to dance with each other's woman and they have to have a drink before they bring the forces out on the field for us to kill each other. While they sit and, have a drink and watch the festivities from afar. The U.S. Marines arrival comes as Australia's foreign minister. Oh, I missed something here. Reports a 24 annual deployment. Barack Obama in 2011 as part of America's pivot to Asia. During the six-month deployment, U.S. Marines will conduct exercises with Australian troops and will also visit Chinese forces. The U.S. Marines' arrival comes as Australia's Foreign Minister Julie Bishop voiced mounting concerns over North Korea's nuclear activities. Pyongyang is striving for nuclear weapons and has a clear ambition to develop an intercontinental ballistic missile capable of carrying a nuclear payload as far as the United States, Bishop said, according to the ABC. That would mean Australia would be in reach, so unless it is prevented from doing so, it will be a serious threat to the peace and stability of our region. And that is unacceptable, she added. Ching, ching. North Korea launched a failed missile test on Sunday while also warning Washington against taking military action against it. Pyongyang's military pledged to ruthlessly ravage the U.S. if the American aircraft carrier USS Carl Vinson, currently on its way to the region, takes aggressive action. In Darwin, Marine Commander Lieutenant Colonel Brian Middleton said the 13 aircraft, including tilt rotary Ospreys, Super Cobra helicopters, and Huey... Ching, ching. What's the cost to get all that shit there, John? Huey helicopters. Triple the number.
I'm going to imagine that the transportation cost, don't forget the cost of the equipment, just the transportation cost from the time it leaves or from the time the orders are cut to send that particular aircraft, pick any one of those helicopters you want, but from the time the orders are cut till the time it's there in condition, ready to fly or take into a training op or into a combat situation, I guarantee you it's about $1 million an aircraft.
No hell. Well, ching, ching. This is good for the economy. This is how Hitler did it. Cobra helicopters and Huey helicopters triple the number of aircraft in past deployments, signaling a tangible kind of sign of our commitment to the region and this partnership. Now, I'm president of the United States. I don't want to be president of the world. Wasn't that what he said? Where is this? What did, I mean, it's like, look at this hand. While the other hand is just doing the opposite of what I'm telling you as you're looking at the other hand.
Well, I mean, now, if I remember right, Henry, Australia is about as far on the other side of the planet as you can get from us, because they're not even in the same hemisphere. But you know what? He doesn't want to be president of the world.
No. And I mean, we're seeing, I mean, and that he isn't under those war powers either, doing all this shit, John. He just ain't ordering this shit under war powers. You know, the dictatorial war powers that name the American people as the enemy to be looted. He
You know what? If we were under war powers, then he wouldn't be facing impeachment, because right now Congress is so pissed that he did an act of war in Syria that, oh, wait, they didn't impeach him, did they? They didn't even talk about impeachment. In fact, I haven't even seen the suggestion of impeachment because, well, I guess he was acting under war powers.
What I see here is, and now that the ones posing as, well, not posing, that are using the communist system are getting their Syrian workers brought in like they wanted, getting their refugees brought in, and the invasion continues at the southern border with already a colonial replacement force here. I see that these people who, I mean, he was their blood enemy, John. You're talking the goddamn left-wing goddamn media, and now they love him. He's pleasing everybody, John, except you and me.
I guess so. And you know what? Don't forget now. The Israelis, who's given Trump his marching orders? Remember, Trump is nothing but a hand puppet. He's got his strings. If you look real close, you can actually see the strings moving his mouth and his hands and his arms and his shoulders and everything else. Don't forget, the Israelis have learned that if you're going to conquer a land, but you leave the people in it, but you start exterminating them, sometimes the world notices. So they're having a lot of trouble finishing up that genocide in Palestine. So what they figured for Syria is, well, they're just going to just give more job visas to some other country like America and empty out Syria like that. And then there's no people left. And then the Israelis just walk right in there and say, oh, look, well, there's nobody living here. So
nobody was living on more of our ancient land that belongs to us. That spans the entire Middle East. Actually, it's the whole goddamn planet. We're the chosen people. Damn it, our God made the planet for us. He put you here to serve us, you dummies. Wake up. Hello. Smell the coffee. Sunday, let's see where we're reaching aggressive action in Darwin. Okay, regardless, I think it's just a good move anytime we can strengthen the long-standing partnership and alliance between our two countries. You mean that socialist shithole over there that in Australia that disarmed all their people on a false flag called, what was that called? Let me see now. Newtown? It was in Newtown over there, Newtown, Australia. Or some
this retard walked into a town who couldn't even tie his own shoelaces, but somehow he became a friggin' expert shooter that would make a Navy SEAL, green with envy.
Forget the SEALs. He would make Rambo blush.
Oh, he would make Rambo blush, man, with just jealousy. I mean, this retard that couldn't even tie his own shoelaces, if I remember right, in the report, they talked about how he was so good that when he was down to his last bullet, he actually put it through two heads at one shot with one bullet.
He was a marksman. An expert marksman, a retard, of course, an expert marksman / retard. Exactly correct. And you know, isn't it? This guy who isn't president of the world over there, all over the world with his socialist buddies. I mean, goddamn. Australia is open. It's a socialist system. They'll tell you. So these, I mean, not president of the world, though. Not just president of, well, Australia and North Korea and Syria and Yemen and, Iraq and, just those places. Horse shit, man. I'm telling you, this isn't funny. I mean, this is just going on exactly. I mean, they're just throwing a muddle of shit out there as they're racking up the bucks, people. I mean, it'll all come to, well, you know, the goddamn national debt quadrupled under him in just 1 year. How in the hell did that happen? I mean, he was doing everything to fix the economy, and somehow it just quadrupled. Man, I'll tell you what, we've been all over the world, though. Our boys are widely traveled. They're coming home with no arms and no legs, with quite the culture. China's foreign minister warned last week that an armed conflict with North Korea may break out at any moment. I've been watching this shit. What do you think about that, John? You think we're at any moment?
Oh, Henry, we've been at any moment for years. We just didn't know it.
Exactly. I'm a daring you.
I'm a stepping.
All righty, then. On that, we're going to roll across. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin,
the state of Jefferson.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disaster situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together, even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Alrighty, you're listening to the second hour of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT, Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5, Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. On this Turncoat Tuesday, the 18th day of April, 2017, I'm your host, Henry Shively. It's 1 o'clock Pacific time. That means it's time for the Tactical Report with J.D., U.S. Marine, Fighting Tyranny. John, you have the floor.
Okay, Henry, thank you. You know, I'm thinking about this while we were on the rollover there. You know, this big notion that North Korea, this little pissant, this puddle, is suddenly this huge global threat, Henry. Wasn't it just like 6 or 7 months ago that ISIS was the big global threat? Couldn't be stopped. It was so brilliant. My God, there was no way to counteract them. And what the hell ever happened to them? Oh, that's right. They're now the terrorist group formerly known as the ISIS, and well, they still haven't figured out a way to stop them, but I love how they're posturing this nonsense. Oh, little North Korea, my God, they're a threat to global stability, Henry.
They must be stopped.
You talk about idiocy and the willingness of people to lick up their own vomit. I mean, you got to be willing to lick up your own vomit if you're licking this stuff up. Anyway, let's get going with our station identification. You are listening to the Tactical Report, and I am your host for it, John D., U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny, and we are broadcast on PBFTT, Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson, or, as some people know it, Oregon. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, Jalapenos Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro-broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation and around the world. If you'd like to call live, call online, our number is 641-715-3610. And a very nice, and oh, here we go, people. Here's some bull crap propaganda. Ebola, anthrax, measles, avian flu, middle and respiratory syndrome, severe cure respiratory syndrome, bubonic plague, polio, Lyme disease, Legionnaire's disease, chickenpox, West Nile fever, yellow fever, and of course, the latest and greatest Zionist Jew communist media darling, a Zika free lady, will come on the line and ask you what conference room you want. And that number is 22-00-29. And the pound sign. And don't forget, at the end of the tactical report, I do open the floor for any questions or comments, but you do need to hit star 6 to manually unmute. All right, let's get going with our FTT PSA from the Trenches Public Service Announcements. And again, we start off by recognizing what is a fact. And the fact is, there is no country of Israel. It is a terrorist organization, but it is not a country. Remember, how was the country, if you're going to follow the fiction, the bullcrap line, the propaganda, the con, how was the country of Israel created? Well, one day there was a little tiny organization strolling through the meadows, smelling the flowers, watching the butterflies floating around, and then suddenly it just had an inspiration that they had the power to just take somebody else's country away from them. And they also had the power to take that country that they just took from somebody else and just give it to anybody they feel like it. In this case, it was that country called Palestine. And then they just suddenly felt the whim, the urge, the need to give it to a bunch of Zionist, Jew, psychotic scumbags. And they called that little place Israel. Now, of course, the Arab countries, they didn't stroll through that same meadow. They didn't smell the same flowers. They didn't see those same beautiful butterflies just fluttering all over the meadow. And so they actually stood up and said, whoa, you can't do that. You don't have the power to take away somebody's country from them. You certainly don't have the power to then turn around and just give it to somebody it doesn't belong to. And so what did little old Israel do? Well, they took a walk through that meadow. They smelled the flowers. They looked at the rainbow in the distance. They watched the beautiful butterflies fluttering through the meadow. And they simply invaded Palestine and declared it theirs all the same. Yes, people, that's the bedtime version of how it happened. A little tiny pissant, fraudulent organization called the UN just declared one day, like the Egyptian god Amun, poof! Just came into existence one day because he felt like it. Out of the nethers, into the here. He didn't exist, but he willed himself into existence, according to Egyptian mythology, and they never explained how he did that. And poof, there you had the self-created Egyptian god Amun. Well, it turns out the UN did the same thing. It was just floating out there in the nethers, no real power of any kind, and then poof, one day it just willed itself to have dominion over the planet and declared it could just take somebody's country from them called Palestine and just give it away to a bunch of psychotic scumbags called Zionist Jews. Well, you know, if you think about it, you're probably going to suspect that the Egyptian version of how the god Amun came to be sounds like a bullshit story. Yeah. And you know what? If you listen to the story about how Israel was created, you're probably going to come to the very same conclusion. It's a bullshit story. You bet it is. Because that's what it's all about, people. How much can they lie to your face and get away with it? Well, anyway, we let them know that we've actually figured out this little bedtime fairy tale is nothing but a fairy tale with a little tiny global program called BDS, Boycott, Divest, and Sanction, which means you don't give any kind of monetary, financial, moral, or political support to this international terrorist organization called Israel, or anyone who supports international terrorism, like Starbucks Commie Coffee. Because when you have a cup of Starbucks Commie Coffee and you get to experience that god-awful, bitter aftertaste, that's all the dead Palestinian babies you're tasting. All right, let's get moving with our Constitution segment. Now, let's go over a little bit of the timeline here because this is interesting. Now, remember, we had a little tiny fight back there called the Revolutionary War. We've all heard about it. And then, of course, it ended when the British surrendered at Yorktown. And that occurred on October 19th, 1781. Well, that's where the fighting supposedly stopped. Now, of course, there's always a little bit of fighting out there in the hinterlands because they didn't quite get the word that the British had surrendered. So you got this date, October 19th, 1781, the surrender at Yorktown. Well, what happens after the surrender? Well, then you got to sign a peace treaty. And what was that called? The treaty that ended officially the Revolutionary War was called the Treaty of Paris. Well, this didn't occur till almost 2 years later, on September 3rd, 1783. So from the end of the fighting in Yorktown in October of 1781 to the actual signing of a treaty, well, that took nearly 2 years to work that out. Well, let's go fast forward a little bit. So, September of 1783, we have the peace treaty in hand. Now, remember, this wasn't a capitulation. This wasn't an article of surrender. It was a peace treaty. Why? We beat them. Remember what a peace treaty is. A peace treaty is, oh, and here's that word Henry was saying at the top of the hour, a peace treaty is a compromise. A peace treaty is what you engage in. It's what you negotiate for. It's what you sign when you can't beat the other side, when you can't win the war, hands down. And rather than expend the remaining blood and treasure that you have, you say, you know what? We're beating each other to death. Looks like neither side's going to win until we're both exhausted. So why don't we just stop the fighting here? And stop throwing good money on bad money. Stop throwing away more lives on top of the lives we've already wasted. That's what a peace treaty is. It's a compromise. Because if you have your enemy beaten, hands down, you don't sign a peace treaty. You signed an article of surrender. An article of capitulation. Or, as we saw in World War II, by Japan and Germany, articles of unconditional surrender. And now that was an interesting word. We're going to talk about that one day. Why they specified the treaties to end or the articles to end. World War II officially end the fighting between the United States and Germany, the United States and Japan, was called unconditional surrender. And I'll give you the hint right now. Because when it's unconditional, that means the articles of a treaty, the articles of POW, treating your prisoners of war, do not apply anymore. You are not held to the same humanitarian standards as a peace treaty would require. In unconditional surrender, the enemy simply admits they're beating and they're going to stop fighting. You have no obligation to treat those people as people whatsoever, which is exactly what we saw in the Eisenhower Rhine-Meadow death camps, where Eisenhower starved to death after the war was over a million Germans at the orders of his Zionist handmasters. Well, over here we had the Treaty of Paris. Again, a compromise, even though we supposedly beat the British, but yet we got a compromise, because that's what a peace treaty is, people, always. When you have your enemy beaten, hands down, they don't sign. You don't sign a peace treaty. You demand an article of surrender. And that's not what occurred here. But let's fast forward. So 1783, we have the Treaty of Paris. Now we're looking at something called a new form of government. And they kind of settle on this notion of a limited form of representative government called a republic. And so they come up with this. Now it takes them nearly 4 years to kind of frame this thing out. And they finally adopt it on September 17th, 1787, almost 4 years to the day, between the time of the Treaty of Paris and when they adopt what we call the Constitution of the United States. Now, it's adopted, but it's not law of the land yet. Now, it has to be ratified. Well, that takes almost another year. In fact, it wasn't ratified till June 21st of 1788, and then even after it's ratified, that is, it's accepted, it still takes nearly 9 months before it becomes law of the land, before it becomes effective, which occurred on March 4th, 1789. So let's look at this. This is interesting. We beat the British to submission at Yorktown on October 19th, 1781. That's when they capitulated. That's when they surrendered. And we finally institute this new form of government, called the Limited Form of Representative Government, or the Republic, but that document doesn't become effective until some 8 years later, on March 4th, 1789. You know, sounds to me like somebody was dragging their feet about this, or there was just a lot of backroom horse trading going on here, people, and it really took them a while to get all those compromises in place, because remember, that's what it's been all along, a compromise. Right from the very victory of where we supposedly beat the British. Because if we had beaten them, hands down, that there was no condition under which they were going to win, you don't sign a peace treaty with them. You sign an article of surrender, which is completely different. An article of surrender means there was no compromise necessary. We beat your goddamn ass, and if you don't sign it, we're just going to continue to wipe up the remaining parties of you people that are still here. But that's not what they did. They signed a peace treaty, which means there's got some give and take. And when you have give and take, well, that's compromise. You see, we've been compromised right from the get-go, people. It's no wonder it seems to be our legacy. Going on. Let's talk about a couple of interesting articles here. Over in... Oh, excuse me one second. Still getting over this bloody cold here, and I'm just getting that dry cough now where your lungs get irritated by the little specks in your lung. So every now and then I got to hack a couple of those up. Okay, I had to have a drink there. All right, let's get moving here. We got a couple of interesting articles. Now, in the category of men, you talk about stupid. Here it is. Over in KickerDaily.com. Kicker, as in kick the ball, you know, kicker. KickerDaily.com. Three-month-old baby. Now, this is a three-month. One, two, three. It's 3 months old. It barely knows how to crap its own diapers yet. Three-month-old baby summoned for interview by U.S. Embassy for terrorism. Oh, man. You just can't make this stuff up, people. You know why? Because I'm just not Dane Bramaged enough to make this kind of garbage up. So these idiots actually do it. Let's see what this says here. Just a few words from the three-month-old baby's grandfather, Paul Kenyon. Let's see. Took him in for an interview, but he can't even speak. He's so young. That's how it starts. That's a weird way to start an article. Just a few words from the three-month-old baby's grandfather, Paul Kenyon, when he made an honest mistake on the ESTA, ESTA, Electronic System for Travel Authorization form, needed for entry into the country. Paul, a 62-year-old factory owner, accidentally ticked yes on the box of one of the form's questions. And the question reads, and now think about this. Here's a question. If you're a terrorist, you know, one of these CIA or Mossad operatives coming in the country, of course you're going to be honest. Because if you're a terrorist, well, you're always an honest terrorist, right? So, of course, you would check yes on this box. But here's the question, apparently, on this ESTA form, Electronic System for Travel Authorization. Do you seek to engage in or have you ever engaged in terrorist activities, espionage, sabotage, or genocide? Yeah, because, you know, if I've actually ever done any of those, of course I'm going to check off the yes box. Fucking idiots. Baby Harvey Kenyon Karen, that's the name, application was refused, and he was asked to attend a grilling from U.S. officials in London. Now, apparently the grandfather and the baby, I think they have the same name or very close to the same name, but this was the baby's travel form, which, of course, was filled out by the grandfather. Mr. Paul Kenyon couldn't believe that the baby, Harvey, was summoned down for an interview to the U.S. Embassy. As per the news by The Telegraph, and that's a media outlet in the U.K., The Telegraph, Mr. Paul said, I had filled in the first five forms all correctly, but it was taking some time. Turns out, he had no idea he had made a mistake on the baby's form until Harvey's travel was refused to the USA, saying, I couldn't believe that they couldn't see it was a genuine mistake that a three-month-old baby would be no harm to anyone. He then added, I went down with him and his mom and took him in for the interview. But he couldn't even speak, he's so young. Well, I'm surprised they didn't label him as uncooperative. He said that if you're a terrorist, I suspect you're not being ticking yes on the ESTA form anyway. The grandpa's plan to fly to his family to Florida coast cost him a lot more than expected due to the circumstances that led to their group to split up. He said, we went down on that Monday and flew in on Thursday, but sadly, the visa didn't come in time. So half of us went, and baby Harvey came a couple of days later with his parents and the whole sorry business cost me an extra £3,000. Yet it was a very expensive mistake, but he was hoping the U.S. Embassy would realize that it was just a simple error without them having to jump through all the hoops. So anyway, this is just another, and it goes on, there's more to it, but just an example of the sheer idiocy. Now remember, these bureaucrats, these people that are making these kinds of decisions about your life and so forth, these are the people in charge. You know what Henry talks about? The losers are in charge. You know, these are the people that in a system that actually required that people who are more capable are the ones who rise to the top, these people couldn't even make it as bad person at your local supermarket. But yet, in this system, the communist system, they're the ones in charge. Going on. Now, we're talking about Alex Jones. Henry spent almost the top first hour talking about it, and here was the article I was trying to find, and I did find it, over in True News. The performance artist known as Alex Jones. Now remember, that's kind of a tongue-in-cheek version of the performance artist, formerly known as Prince. Remember when they were doing that for a while? Because he changed his name. He changed his name from Prince, or the artist known as Prince, to that, well, it was a symbol. And he had no verbal, no auditory version of it. It was just a symbol. And so whenever you were going to say Prince's name, and of course he didn't have a name, now it was just a symbol. Remember, they used to point to the little necklace he was wearing because it was the symbol. He had it hanging on a little necklace, so they would point to it. Yeah, complete idiocy. And let's read this article, just the first paragraph or two. Will the real Alex Jones please stand up? That's how it starts. InfoWars Alex Jones is just pretending when hosting his show, where he frequently espouses conspiracy theories and recently challenged actor Alec Baldwin to a fist fight. That's what his lawyer, Randall Wilhite, argued at a recent pretrial hearing, the Austin American Statesman first reported. Jones is currently battling his ex-wife in court over custody of their children. His case will depend on convincing jurors that Alex Jones, the InfoWar host, is different from Alex Jones, the person. Quote, he's playing a character. He's a performance artist, his lawyer said. Jones's wife argued that her husband, who once pushed the theory that the Sandy Hook shooting was a false flag event, actually believes what he says. He's not a stable person, Kelly Jones said. He says he wants to break Alec Baldwin's neck. He wants J-Lo to get raped. He broadcasts from home. The children are there, watching him broadcast, she added. The Jones' 14-year-old son and two daughters, age 9 and 12, have lived with their father since his 2015 divorce, according to the Statesman. The Statesman is a media outlet. Jones went on a rant last month against Democratic Representative Adam Schiff after Schiff accused him of colluding with the Russians. Quote, you get in my face with that, and I'll beat your goddamn ass, you son of a bitch, you piece of shit, Alex Jones said. Sounds more like, who's that guy? Though he used to parade the white trash up on TV. Oh, I can't think of his name. And they always got into a fist fight during the show. It would start off as an argument. Jerry Springer. He sounded more and more like Jerry Springer, isn't he? The artist formerly known as Jerry Springer, now known as Alex Jones. Anyway, you get the idea. You talk about theater, people. All right, let's see what else we got here. This is interesting over in King World News. Let's take a quick look at the financial front. John Embry, $3 billion paper gold selling scam backfires as U.S. economic collapse picks up steam. Now remember, people, we are in the vestige, the opening round, the going down the toilet of an economic collapse. There's no way to avoid it either. What they're going to do is they're going to wallpaper it over and they're going to put a lot of lipstick on this pig until it's obvious they can't shield you from the truth anymore. Remember, we talked about that with Joseph Goebbels. In fact, he gave us an actual statement of complete truth at one point. Remember, Joseph Goebbels lied through his teeth, but every now and then he told the truth about his lying. That's what was interesting, because he understood he was lying. He understood exactly what the mechanism was and what its intent was for. You have to be a good liar. And so he made this statement. Now, again, let's just read this one more time from Joseph Goebbels. If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie can be maintained only for such time as the state can shield the people from political, economic, and or military consequences of the lie. It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all its powers to repress dissent, for truth is the mortal enemy of the lie. And thus, by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. You bet, Joseph Goebbels. In fact, that's probably one of the most lucid statements he probably ever made in his whole life. Now, what is this paper gold? Well, that's the lie, people. This is partly how they're shielding you from the financial and economic consequences of their lie. This is a perfect example of it. What is the paper gold market? That is these scumbags, these people that are manipulating the financial market, the FTT, high-frequency trading computers, and, of course, the stock market computers, with these paper derivatives. How hard is it for them to create these paper derivatives? How hard is it for you to reach over to your computer and push a keystroke? That's how hard it is for them. And this is how they manipulate the price of gold. Now remember, there's reasons, not reason, singular. There is reasons, plural, why they manipulate the price of gold. Several of them. One of the most, and one of the primary functions here is to, as Joseph Goebbels said, to shield you from the truth. To shield you from, to shield the people from the political, economic, or military consequence of the lie. Because when you have the price of gold artificially suppressed like this, it gives the illusion, it helps support the lie, that your fiat currency system is somehow legitimate. Now remember, they can collapse it at any time they want. And I literally mean any time they want. Any day, any hour. In fact, they could probably collapse it to the minute if they wished. In fact, I'm looking for the date I had written here. Here we go. And here's a perfect example of them deciding when to do something like that. First off, we had, now you're gonna, you might remember this date, October 28th, 1929. October 28th, 1929. Also known as Black Tuesday. And this is supposedly what kicked off the Great Depression. Now remember, this was not an organic event. This was the international scumbag Zionist Jew bankers that were running our financial system just deciding today, October 28th, 1929, we're going to collapse the U.S. economy. And we're going to stop by doing it in the stock market. And that's exactly what they did. They picked the day. They picked the very hour. And of course they've done it through, they've done it periodically since then. An example of that would be October 19th. 1987, also known as Black Monday. Well, we had another huge stock market crash. And remember, there was nothing organic about that. It's simply that these scumbag Zionist Jew bankers that run our financial system just said, today, October 19th, 1987, we're going to crash the U.S. economy again. And that's exactly what they did. Well, it's no different with what's coming around, people. When they decide, when they pick the day, could be today, could be tomorrow, could be next week, could be next year. When they pick the day, though, and they decide to do it, it shall be done. Now, let's see what this article says real quick about this. With the U.S. dollar tumbling along with stocks as the gold market continued to surge, John Embry told King World News that the $3 billion paper gold selling scam backfired today as the U.S. economy collapsed. Picks up steam. And I like the caption they have just below it. They got a picture of George Orwell himself. They actually have a picture of George Orwell, you know, the author of 1984. And they've got one of his classic phrases. In a time of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. Or, if you follow Joseph Goebbels, telling the truth becomes a crime against the state. John Embry, Eric, and of course he's talking to Eric King, who the site is named after. Eric, it appears that the powers that be are becoming increasingly desperate and transparent as things deteriorate economically, financially, and geopolitically. Bogus government statistics, fake news, and manipulated markets are intensifying to the extent that I believe even George Orwell would be dazzled. You betcha he would. The action in the stock market. Okay, he just talked about the stock market, so skip that. I want to jump over that. Well, let's just drop down here. And I like this. Is next subject heading. Government reporting lies as the economy implodes. Now, remember, the government reporting lies. Now, why would the government report lies? Oh, that's right. Joseph Goebbels told us some 75 years ago. The lie can be maintained only for such time as the state can shield the people from the political, economic, and or military consequences of that lie. Thus, it becomes vitally important for the state to use all its powers to repress dissent, which means the truth. For the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie. And thus, by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. There's nothing new here, people. In fact, it only takes a handful of the people who are involved with this in some point in history to actually understand what's going on right now. Government reporting lies as the economy implodes. Switching to the U.S. economy, most of the micro numbers I'm looking at do not at all support the numbers the government is reporting. Retail sales, which are an extremely important component of the U.S. economy, are weak. And the carnage in the bricks and mortar retail sector is alarming. Stores are closing everywhere. Auto sales, which are generally inflated by subprime auto lending, have clearly peaked, and inventories are building. Virtually everything is suggesting we are entering a recessionary period if we aren't already in it. However, gold and silver must never be allowed to reflect reality because the whole Ponzi scheme, which is modern finance, would unravel quickly. Thus, gold and silver, which are at the cusp of major breakouts just last week, have been aggressively attacked in the paper markets this week. And remember, what is the paper markets? It's bullshit. It's the con. It's the lie. They don't even bother to draw up a piece of paper anymore. It's simply a digit entered in the computer. And they say, oh, poof, there's 1 billion ounces of gold. The $3 billion paper gold selling scam backfired. Silver open interest in the COMEX now stands at an all-time high, meaning more of that paper stuff, despite the fact that all the metal is down over 60% from its highs 6 years ago and is the cheapest hard asset on earth. Meanwhile, at the open, gold was hit hard on the COMEX with a burst of selling over 22 minutes amounting to 22,000 contracts, which represents $3 billion in gold. But the attempted takedown backfired as the price of gold rallied anyway. Anyway, you can read more of that because I do see we're at the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a bottom of the hour break. You are listening to the Tactical Report, and we'll be back after these words from our sponsors. Henry, if you please.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Crumbiliumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Judge's gavel fell. Jury found him guilty. Gave him 16 years in hell. He said, I ain't spending my life here. I ain't living alone. Ain't breaking no rocks from the chain gang. I'm breaking out and heading home. I'm gonna make a change. Sky. I'm gonna make a
jailbreak.
Yeah.
welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Tactical Report, and our site is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. Brought to you by PBFTT, Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches. The Tactical Report is a listener-sponsored broadcast, and if you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, please go to our website, FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. That donate button. Contributions, as always, are greatly appreciated. I am your host for the Tactical Report, John D., U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny, and of course, Henry Shively is the main show host, and it is 4:39 Eastern Time, which makes it 1:39 Pacific Time, and during the break, that was AC/DC with Jailbreak. All right, before I hand this back over to Henry, remember, as a reminder, we do have it posted on our website, that we will have a special interview on Friday. We're going to have Pete Hendrickson, the author of Cracking the Code. And he's going to be giving us a little background about how he came into it, what prompted him to write the book, and, of course, what is the substance of the book? Why is it actually perfectly legal to demand all your money back, or at least for most people? So he's going to give us a little insight. And, of course, Katie has always talked about him, which, of course, is what kind of brought Pete and his book and the interview to our radio show. So that was due to Katie's diligence and always mentioning him and bringing him up. So Katie, that one's for you. And we do thank you because, you know, it's people like that that actually insist on getting the truth out there that it comes up to the top. It floats to the top and we're all going to be made aware of it. And it's something that we can help spread. So we're going to give Pete a chance to actually come up and explain it himself. And then once you understand the nature of what he's talking about, you might want to tell your friends and family about it. And one last item before I hand this over to Henry. Just for you people out there that were feeling maybe a little bad about Ivanka Trump. Remember when she was losing some of her retail outlets for her clothesline? Well, don't worry about old Ivanka because according to RT, Russia Today, quote, China approves three Ivanka trademarks on same day she met President Xi Jinping. And remember, Xi Jinping is the president of China. And just by no strange coincidence, on the very day they meet, well, three of her trademarks get approved. Not her father's. These are her trademarks. Remember what I told you? The only way you get trademark approval in China, the only way you open up factories in China, is you got to be a card-carrying communist. Anyway, that's it for me. Unless there's any questions or comments, I'm going to turn this back over to my friend and mentor, Henry Shively. Going once, going twice. Okay, on you, Henry.
Outstanding report as always, JD. You Jones's wife, you got her name, Kelly. I heard it when you were reading the article.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know what he called, what her name was on the radio when he, you know, even when he first was getting to know her and she worked for him and they were, you know, became lovers and husband and wife?
No. Nope.
Violet.
Oh, was it? Now, I wonder if that's after the Peanuts character, Violet.
Oh, man, it's hard to tell. What a weird world. Crazy world. And you talked about that baby, that three-month-old baby.
What do they call it? When they demand your presence, summoned. He was summoned to the American Embassy in London to explain his terrorist activities.
Well, I think it's, you know, they should consider themselves lucky that the kid didn't get waterboarded for refusing to speak.
Well, he did piss himself, though.
Hopefully I'm one of their agents. Anyways, we're always looking for, you know, we've been told to give Trump a chance. And we're always looking for something that actually good happening in our lives to show us that, you know, that this is, you know, America first and us first. And people that have been forgotten are going to be remembered in the whole spiel. And I found something, John. Okay. Oil to reach $65 a barrel by year end if OPEC sticks to production cuts. This has got to be for us, right? This is from RT. Sent in by Sunfire for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. Despite a surge in U.S. shale production, the average cost for a barrel of Brent crude may rise by $10 by the end of the year. Now, you see, this is what we're paying this representative government, these people who work for us, to our benefit to do. To get out there and, goddamn, we're not paying enough for our gas, John.
Well, you know, Henry, I'm so glad they got some of this war propaganda going to help them with that, because I'm already seeing the price of gasoline spike here in New Jersey, because just from the sheer talk, the sheer suggestion that we may have to go to war with North Korea.
Well, you were talking about the fact that this, that, you know, the consumer reports are saying, I'm telling you, we'll read this article, but this is just their, I mean, just they don't care to just come around and write out any goddamn thing. I mean, rather, it's so fantastic that nobody will believe it, and they know nobody's going to believe it because everybody is still out there in the real world. They don't care anymore. Despite a surge in U.S. shale production, the average cost for a barrel of Brent crude may rise $10 by the end of the year, according to U.S. investment banking multinational Citigroup, as cited by Bloomberg. So we're talking oil production here. Banking multinational Citigroup is announcing that we're going to the crude's going to go up by $10 a barrel. What about the? Wait, there's something amiss here. City analysis says the increase in shale production should be offset by extending production curbs agreed between the Organization of the Petroleum Export Countries (OPEC) and other major exporters led by Russia. So now, what? Russia is holding off production to raise the price of my gas at the pump just for me? But the continuation of the OPEC and non-OPEC producer deal in the second half, this is what we're talking about, contracts, people. The whole goddamn thing is just business deals, and we've not even entered in the equation, except that they're getting away with stealing our goddamn resources and cashing them in. That's what we're looking at. A deal in the second half of 2017 and the expected associated inventory drawdown, we expect oil prices to move above $60 a barrel by the second half of the year, the analysis wrote in the note. The bank expects U.S. West Texas Intermediate crude to reach $62 a barrel and Brent crude to average $65 per barrel by the end of the year. And if this scheme works out, this has been put together by your government because they love you. And they're looking out for you, and they want you to have more. No, they don't. They're stealing it offering. What am I saying? You have just had your tax money spent for your employees to go and make sure that you're going to pay $3 or $4 a gallon for goddamn gas if they can possibly make it happen, so they can steal more of what you don't have. At the same time, city experts warn that a failure to extend the output agreement may precipitously lower prices for crude, as increased supply in the late 2016 is still a dark cloud hanging over the market. What they're telling you is you still have a glut of crude. You still have a glut of gasoline, diesel, and the other byproducts of the oil. You still have a glut. Yet, that price is going to go up to $65 a barrel when they've been robbing you since the inception of this scam. It's supply and demand. You're just wanting more, so we got to charge you more. That's all. There's just ain't very much of it. Now that there's a glut. You see that what's really interesting, they talk about the multinational Citigroup investment bank. So you're talking about futures. See, they've sold these futures. And I'm telling you what, the futures are going to pay because, you know, if there's a glut, so what? There's a glut. We have captured all the oil in the United States. What they're telling you here is at the same time, they've got this glut. We know they're exporting it just as fast as they can and just wanting to get those pipelines down so they can export our raw crude. Faster, the sweet crude, the easy shit to refine. Now, what this comes down to is we're sitting here, they're telling us, oh yeah, it looks like gas going to go up $3 a gallon because it's the demand on the international market. This ain't international oil, motherfucker. This is my goddamn oil. This is our oil. And we're going to pay for the refined product on a world scale? For our own goddamn product? Why, at the same time, you know, it's just like the rest of our resources. The gold. The copper, the iron, everything, all of our natural resources.
Don't forget the uranium.
Don't forget the uranium. Because they're paying like $267. That's what you get for billions of dollars of your frickin' resources that they're hauling out of this country. Well, we got a mining claim. We filed for $257. We have $200 every couple of years, and we keep that alive, and we just steal it wholesale, and we bring it back here and sell it you at the market price. There has never been a greater theft in the history of this fucking planet, people. And they're doing it to us right in our face. And here you have it. I mean, is this what you elected Trump and this is what your representatives, this is what they were doing? I mean, you think you enter into the equation other than somebody for them to steal from? Now, when you go down to the goddamn pump, is that what you, when you go, you see that $3 on the pump or $3.50? Is that what you hired these son of a bitches for? That's what you're paying? You're paying the international market price for your own goddamn resources? But it's a very good deal for them. Earlier this month, Russia's Deputy Prime Minister, Arkady Dvorkovich, acknowledged the effect of the deal sealed with OPEC hadn't delivered as much as Russian authorities accepted. This is when we're going to get into what John was talking about. The agreement on OPEC-led supply cuts came into force in January. However, the price of Brent crude has so far failed to reach $60 a barrel. A barrel of Brent crude has kept to around 55, and this is everything they can do to drive it up to make you pay them more money at the goddamn banks to these goddamn, I mean at the service station, to these goddamn international bankers. They told you. What do we got up here? U.S. investment banking multinational Citigroup. This is who's stealing your goddamn money at the pump now. The banks have taken control of everything, including, this is your goddamn raw resources. It's like this, people. This is a fact, whether you want to believe it or not. The electricity that goes right by my house right here, from the, goddamn, what the hell's the name of the dam up there in the Columbia, I can't think of the name of the dam. But the electricity that goes right here by my house, it goes by here, oh, see Laura's telling me, Bonneville Dam. The electricity that goes right by my house here, goes straight. The lines go straight down and into Mexico. For that electricity, 1,000 miles to the south, into Mexico, they pay pennies on the dollar to what I pay for it here. This is what we're talking about, the ripoff of our country, the ripoff of our people. Because it's going down there and it's fueling their industry. What the hell are we doing selling anything outside of this country when we're buying it? Why would you ever import something that you're producing? And then export your shit to be produced. I mean, this is this world economy that allows them to take your goddamn natural resources. And, you know, like the original deal when we were under the Dirty Church Cabal, the good old boy Masonic Dirty Church Cabal. Oh, you see, this is a very good, I want you people to sit down now. I know you thought you were going to have you a country where you owned everything. You would be entrepreneurs. You would own the businesses. You would own the goddamn, but this is how you preserved your freedom and your liberty. You preserved your sovereignty. Was to make sure that the American people owned everything. And why shouldn't they? It's theirs. If somebody's going to exploit the resources, shouldn't it be an American and not a Chinaman? Because it is supposed to be ours. But what do you have here? You have the exports ban lifted so that they can start pumping the oil out. And if the infrastructure Donald Trump promised you, oil pipelines, to get it down to the coast, to get it out of this freaking country so that you can buy it at the world market price. Like you never owned it. Like you're just sitting here and you're saying, I got to buy some gas. Ain't no gas here. We ain't making no gas. If I was making gas, I mean, it's going to be like everything else. You know, with this world shit that they got going on the American people, you know that Laura and I go pick the berries and make jelly, and we've sent John some, we sent Spike some, I think we sent Katie some, maybe Mary some. The people, you know, that are close to us and always treating us good. But you know what? For what I pay to ship, to make that jar of jelly, to pick the berries, I mean, this used to be when I was a kid, this is what we did so we'd have enough to eat. We went and picked berries. We picked corn. We picked everything. We preserved it ourselves. But now it costs, I could buy 3 jars of the same jelly. I could buy that and send John the money, have him go down and buy 3 jars of, more than that, 4 jars of jelly at least for what I pay to ship 1 jar of jelly. I went and I did the work all myself. We preserved made the jelly and stuff and sent it, and it costs 4 times more. The idea here is that, you know, your resources are not going to be of any benefit to you. What's happening here is your real estate, your trust, your estate is being liquidated. And it's just sitting here, well, we're going to feed you, so the food we're eating, people. We're the richest country on planet Earth. We produce the best food, but we don't get none of the good food. The food that we eat, it comes up from South America, the vegetables and even in the cattle from Canada. Why? Why would you do that? because you're merging this country and the richest country on planet Earth into a one-world communist system, wherein the richest country is divided into the poorest country. You have a ruling elite and everybody else is a frickin' peasant, is a coolie, is a peon. That's why. And it's happening right in front of, and just like this shit here, $65 a barrel. This is what you, I mean, you know, there's this handful that they tell you, yeah, this is a real good deal for the economy. It's going to make a lot of money for the economy and the stock market and shit. What the hell does this have to do with the people here? You're talking a handful. Everything is being done to enrich a handful at the expense of everybody else. This is a good thing. They portray this $65 a barrel as a good thing. And it is good for them. But what I'm coming to find out here is that what's good for them isn't good for us. Because what they take, they are taking from us. They do not produce. And they didn't. They've come in here from everywhere. They don't own this goddamn country. They've come in here on prior contracts. From the days of the dirty, a good old boy Masonic dirty church cabal, where it was like, okay, we're going to give you access to these goddamn resources. We're going to give them to you, hell, for nothing. $257. And hell, you can go dig out all the iron you can. You're going to have it. This is why it was set up that way, people. Supposedly, the idea was that we just wanted to work for somebody. That's what they decided after they took over the government, the aristocrats. You people, of course, you're just going to work for somebody. You people don't own anything. We're the aristocrats. We own everything. So you get to work for us. And so the playing things, I mean, when they were out selling it in the day, when they were, you know, say, talking about handing, you know, we're going to give some oil leases. Hey, you don't have permission to lease my goddamn property, pal. You haven't rent. I mean, this is how, you know, they created these fraudulent agencies with zero authority over our property. And they just sit down. Well, Bob, I talked to him down at the lodge the other day. And we're going to make a killing here, me and Bob and Fred. But Bob and Fred's going to be the ones on the paper. I'm the one that's doing the dirty deal. And a handful of son of a bitches who should have been taken out and hung in the day ended up with, oh, they got leases on all the oil in the whole goddamn United States. It belongs to them. They're getting $15 a barrel. And they're going to, I mean, the going rate on the world market is $65 a barrel. But the American people, well, not even us, it's paid into the fraudulent government they own so that they get it right back. So they're actually paying nothing. But theoretically, $15 a barrel. For oil that's on the world market, for us, if it was something we were selling that we were going to get the money for, that's supposed to be $65 a barrel. But hey, wait a minute, it gets better. Because once they take our oil for $15 a barrel and sell it just straight out, they're not, no refining, no jobs, anything, straight off the coast, straight to China to be refined. Then they come back and the product from that, we're going to buy it at the goddamn world market price. People, can't you see this? This is the theft of the greatest. I mean, all other thefts before this are minimal. I mean, they're not even worth mentioning compared to the theft that has gone on. And we're supposed to be so goddamn smart. Them Americans, they really got control. Their free people got control. This is one of the most totalitarian military dictatorships that ever exist on this planet, people. And once they get past the point to where the people are truly resisting this shit, like if we went down and started closing down the ports that are pumping our goddamn raw resources out here to be manufactured with slave labor, people always, how can we get this goddamn thing going? This war needs to happen. I'll tell you how. Just go down and all you have to do is just stop the flow of your resources out of this country. They will shoot at you. You go down there and stand between them and them resources leaving here that belong to you, that they're taking from you, that they are blatantly in your face stealing from you. You stand there and say, you're not stealing that. I promise you, they will shoot at you because they aim to take it all. As long as they can postpone the point to where we actually say, no, you're not. Oh, that's just stealing. They're getting without overhead. And then when they have to come and try to, you know, when people finally take a stand and they have to put the effort forth to try to put you down to stop you, then that's over. This is how they look at this. I mean, they don't even look like you as alive, as a human being. They see you as a soulless animal. They just look at it like everything is overhead. It's a chart. It's a sheet, you know, a spreadsheet. That's what they call it. And they're looking at pluses and minuses to how they conduct the business. And right now, hell, if you're just going to stand there and watch them haul your shit out of here, like I said, $15 a barrel, it's a real good deal for you. We're going to pay that thieving ass occupational government that we control $15 a barrel for your oil. and we're going to ship it over to China and India and have it refined over there and come back and sell you gas at $3 a gallon, you goddamn fools. How can you charge me $3 a gallon? Well, that's the world price. But you're only giving me $15 a barrel for my raw crude when the world price is $65 a barrel. How does that work? You're only supposed to be making the money for refining it. They want, I mean, Jesus Christ, you people don't see that they want everything. And there's only one way to stop them. And we all know what it is. And man, the longer we wait, the more they steal, the harder it gets, the more entrenched they are. Anyway, we're at the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast of the Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, I mean, if you can figure out this supply and demand thing, I'd like to understand it a little better. And that is the Word from the Trenches. See you later, Don.